hey man, it's all about love. And I love saying that because anybody who's known me for all these years are just going to laugh and laugh and laugh. Like, Trey's talking about God. Trey's talking about love. Trey's talking about oneness. But that's the bottom line. I think that where I've landed is the more you can improve yourself, whatever that looks like, right? The more you can reach for peace of mind and opening your ability to give and receive love, really, that's all that's required in my view of things.
This may well be the penultimate Light in the Fog episode. In part one of God, Stingrays, and the Why, Jenny and Trey discuss the purpose of reincarnation, how and why clearing karma is a good thing to do, Plato's cave, media influences, always media influences, the nature of God and consciousness, and the coolest ways to die, and how to be good with them. It's time to take the charge out of your current incarnation. Next week, we get to actual past life readings.
Well, hello, hello, and welcome to your current incarnation.
Yay, thank you. I feel so welcomed. Hello, hello.
Welcomed by me, welcomed by our community, welcomed by the world.
Welcomed by myself. Excellent.
Ooh, I love that best of all, right on. Well, today is about past lives, which is a really rather involved topic. I think that one of the really fun things that as I started getting further and further into the spiritual studies was finding out not just that reincarnation is a thing, but like what the purpose of it all is. And then it's like, oh, the purpose of life. I mean, I don't know if I want to go that far with it.
That's a bit much for just an hour episode.
It's a bit much, but we'll get there eventually on this podcast. I know we will. So what is reincarnation to you, Jenny?
To me, reincarnation is the understanding that we've had quote unquote past lives or previous lives before this one. And there's purpose behind that, those lives, whether it is to find enlightenment or make your heart lighter, or it is just to clear your karma. I think is, definitely something that's worth discussing, but just understanding that this isn't our first life and this won't be our last life.
Yeah, which that second part really upsets me quite a bit.
I mean, if you want it to be your last life, maybe.
You can, as it turns out. Mm-hmm. You choose this. You choose whether or not you come back. You choose how you come back. You choose whether or not you come back to this reality or some other reality, dimension of existence. Yeah, it's kind of infinite. And when you plug into that idea, all of a sudden there's a perspective to this life that has personally just given me a tremendous amount of relief. I like knowing that this isn't the end of things or the only thing. You know, and I have friends who don't believe that there's anything after this. And I'm like, man, I've been hanging out with ghosts since I was a little kid. Like, there's never not been a time that I wasn't aware that there was more. But trying to understand what the more is has been part of the fun of the last few years for me. When did you start plugging into this whole concept?
So it took me a little bit. I think, I've talked about the Midnight Gospel on this podcast before, but that was really my third eye awakening because it was the same year that I transitioned. It was the same year that the pandemic hit. Just watching that, there's a particular episode of that show, that podcast show, where they do discuss past lives a little bit, and then the animation style contributes to that, and like what's going on in the animation contributes to that, and the idea that we were just doing the same thing over and over again until we started to get it, really clicked for
funk,
me.
Funk,
yeah,
funk.
Exactly. Where it's like, okay, that makes a lot of sense to me. Cause I don't know. I feel like for me, I came into this world with so much empathy for things that I shouldn't otherwise have empathy for, things that I'm willing to speak to and things that I'm not willing to speak to. Obviously recognizing that I'm still a white trans woman, but like, it just didn't make sense to me that this was the only life that I've lived, you know? It just didn't seem to click for me. And it makes a lot more sense that it's not.
It makes a lot more sense that it's not. And in one of our podcasts, we had talked about like different movies that kind of clued us in to other things that were happening. And you and I both were really attracted to movies about like multi-dimensions. So it wasn't necessarily speaking to past lives per se. But man, like I was all over the ghost stories when I was a kid. I mean, that was my experience, certainly. And then at some point there was the things like Sliding Doors, you know, with Gwyneth Paltrow and that really amazing Scottish guy, you know, where she lives a couple of different lives. And just the idea that like you could choose, wait a minute, I can choose my reality? What? And Hollywood is the one who's telling me this?
Yeah, that's crazy. I saw an Instagram post the other day about all the different movies that are about the butterfly effect. Obviously, Butterfly Effect being one of them, but Sliding Doors was one of the ones that came up as well. And just this idea that slight variations in how we're living change how the rest of our life is going to be, which also speaks to multi-dimensions, which I'm going to put asparagus on that because I don't want to talk about dimensions because that's another episode.
It's a piece and part of the past lives. It's accepting the fact that, you know, we have many, 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 many different existences. We're experiencing them all at the exact same time. There is no time and space, et cetera, et cetera. I feel like these are sort of the ground rules that we've established before on this podcast.
Yeah.
So it gives us, if you're new, welcome. Mm-hmm. And you might want to go back and pick up some of the other podcasts where we start to dive into this, because our plan is to build, you know, and expound upon the things that we laid out there. So, okay. So bottom line, we both believe in past lives. We both believe in reincarnation. And then the fun thing is like, but what's the point? Like, why do we care about past lives? I don't know. Why do you care?
I feel like, you know, I've always turned this idea of enlightenment, and I've really had to ask myself what enlightenment means to me. Is it the Buddhist enlightenment? Is it something else? And I guess to me, it means filtering out all the bad and keeping the good and expanding on the good. And it means living for others, and learning how to live for others and learning how to live for your community. And I think it takes multiple lives to be able to do that, or to be able to understand what your ego is and understand the concept of ego and understand what shedding your ego looks like and actually start doing that, because shedding your ego is a horrific process.
and it never ends.
Never ends.
It's, it's layers upon layers upon layers.
Yeah. So I don't know. It just makes sense that certain lives, you'd be able to deal with things better than other lives. And certain lives, maybe you're not dealing with things and you're just surviving and you're just pushing through. You know, it provides a clear perspective on what's going on.
Yeah, nice. So my version of that is that it. Sorry, now my brain is doing that vapor lock thing. hey, man, it's all about love. and I love saying that, because anybody who's known me for all these years are just going to laugh and laugh and laugh. Like, Trey's talking about God. Trey's talking about love. Trey's talking about oneness. But that's the bottom line. I think that where I've landed is the more you can improve yourself, you know, whatever that looks like, right? The more you can reach for peace of mind and opening your ability to give and receive love, really, that's all that's required in my view of things. If you work on yourself, then that by, you know, the ripple effect is going to improve the world around you. And it was such a relief for me to connect to that, because I had been so purpose-driven, and so purpose meaning performance. I had been, you know, one of these people who millions of hours of volunteer work and really feeling like supporting my community was the best, because I couldn't support myself, right? But like I could, but if I can support my community, then like that'll count, right? But that got exhausting. And at some point I just had to stop everything and get really still and just stare at a wall, which is what 2024 has been for me essentially. And what it came down to was like the best I've ever felt was when I wasn't taking on responsibility for everybody and everything else, when I wasn't assigning myself tasks, you know, and missions and this, that, and the other. I mean, my biggest task is like, gosh, can you pay the rent? Like in this world, that's what I care about. Knowing that different lessons will come in. But my goal now is to have cleared as much of the past karma as possible so that like new fun things can come in. Because, man, I don't want to keep having to do the same thing. You know, like when your friends are like, you keep dating the same person, or you keep working for the same, you know, kind of toxic situation, or, you know, whatever, you know, that we end up feeling really stuck and stalled. And that is the point where if you don't start clearing some of this stuff, and not just in therapy, like in this, you know, like yay therapy, we're obviously very, very, very pro therapy.
Very pro therapy.
Very pro therapy. But that's usually really just dealing with the 3D world. Mm-hmm. What I've learned in my studies as a psychic is if you can clear it at the spiritual level, then you don't have to clear it here because you done it. And this, so as above, so below. Mm-hmm. The more you can clear up there, the more peace you're going to have, the less you're going to worry about putting yourself in the same situation. But of course, you do. But then when you do, you recognize it very quickly and you get yourself out of it. You're like, nope, I'm good. I've learned that lesson, moving along. So bringing in the past life thing is the opportunity to clear all the other times we've been learning these exact same lessons. Gosh, and if you can get back to your first past life where that lesson, that programming was given to you, and clear that, then you don't have to bother with any of the other past lives. You get to, you know, go ahead to go and collect your $200.
I think that's, you know, the distinction you're making there is really important, because we've talked before about how the things that you don't deal with in your previous lives are coming back in this one, and the ways in which they remanifest. And, you know, I feel like as people who have been empaths for a few lives, and I'm not hopping on my high horse here at all. Like I don't have
this is your podcast. Jenny.
This is our podcast. I feel like people who have been empaths for a few lives, you know, it makes sense that the journey goes from id, the self, and then you overcorrect to the superego, to the other, you know, once you find out that it's not just about you, and how good it feels to not just make it about you, and how good it feels to live for the other. And then you kind of have to backstep a little bit and be like, no, but it is still not necessarily about me, but I need to prioritize me in some ways, you know, and work on the spiritual suit, the work on the metaphysical side of me, more than just the meat suit.
I think
that's a really important distinction to make, because that's been my lesson too. And I think that's why you and I have connected so much, is because this is a life where you and I are both focused on karma clearing as much as we can. And focused on self-betterment as much as we can, while understanding that you and I excel at bettering others already.
Yeah, you know, I've dedicated decades of my life. I'm a teacher, for goodness sakes, mm-hmm. you know, and as storytellers, that's really what's fundamentally going on as storytellers, is trying to reflect back, mirror back what the human condition is so that other people can see themselves in it, so that they can learn from these experiences. We were just laughing about how Gwyneth Paltrow, you know, introduced us to multidimensional choices.
Don't ever say that to me again.
Yes. So bottom lining things is, the more you can recognize that, you know, this is just the dance, man. And even when it's at its absolute, absolute worst, it's because there's a thing that you're supposed to get out of it. And that if you can resolve it, then you just don't have to deal with it anymore moving forward. But then the big question is, well, how in the world do you get to that point? Like, it's one thing to recognize that this isn't the only existence. The next thing to recognize, you know, that we're carrying a lot of baggage forward. And then the last thing is, well, how do you clear? That might be an episode that we do as an actual karma clearing.
Yeah. What is it? I think we should, because you and I have both developed different methods of karma. And I do have, as we started talking about this episode, I thought of something that I don't think you and I have ever talked about before that is in line with this.
No, stop. What?
I've also come to the understanding recently that, because, like, when I first got into past lives, I thought it was just like, oh, I was this before, and then I was this, and then I was this. But first of all, that's inherently flawed, because time isn't linear. Second, I have come into the idea that we are a collection of different beings meshed into one, but in a cosmic way as well. Like, if someone dies, their consciousness is an explosion that goes all over the places. And so I do have pieces of myself from my previous past life, but then I also have pieces of other people's past lives meshed into me, because I'm part of that explosion, you know? Yeah. And so it's really interesting to think about, how much of what past lives do I have? How much do I connect to, you know? And it brings together this idea of oneness a lot, but I'm curious to know what you think of that. Cause the idea that it isn't just one past life to another, but instead like a collection of consciousnesses that we have experienced, but that we also haven't experienced or personally. I don't know.
I feel like in my studies, and the thing that resonates the most with me is, we're just one massive organism. And then this is just how we live. So there's not so much separate. So I think, like, the first level is we recognize that there's a soul mm-hmm. in us, you know, a higher self, whatever. Some people call it spirit. Some people call it soul, higher self, that, is the consistent thing across all past lives that we have experienced, which makes it us. That's what we do. We live lots and lots and lots of existences. But at the exact same time, if you take a step further back from that, I am you and you are me. We're all just part of one massive consciousness. Some people call it God. Some people call it Supreme Being. You know, lots of, however you connect to it. You don't have to call it anything, because for a long time, like, I hated God. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm laughing, Gen X, because that's what we do. We laugh at our trauma. I was so, so, so disassociated and disappointed in the concept of divinity that I couldn't even bear to have a conversation. And it's taken years and years, but I'm there now. I'm good. I'm with the program, because it's hating me, you know, like, we are the Supreme Being. And this is just one tiny, tiny, tiny little fractal moment of that greater existence. Yeah, that's kind of where I think.
Yeah,
where my head
I
goes.
Think because, you know, we've talked about God on this podcast before, but I don't think we've ever really delved into what God means for us. And I think it's an interesting idea, because obviously it relates directly to the past life stuff, really directly, because to me, God isn't just a singular entity. Obviously, it's oneness in all of us, but God's more of like an idea, you know, to me personally, where it's like God is the collectiveness, like you said, the string that ties us all together. God is in the air and in the sky and in the animals that are around us.
And in sliding doors.
And in sliding, and in Gwyneth Paltrow and in Goop. So, yeah. Oh, that hurts. But, yeah, and like, because I'm very, you know, I do believe there is shreds of truth to every religion that's out there. Yeah. And I also believe
they're all saying the same thing, yes, as it turns out.
Yes. And I also think that there is ways in which the religions get it wrong in every iteration as well, mm-hmm, including my own witchcraft theistic. But I do.
Oh, that's another episode. Yeah. Delicious.
But like, yes. I do believe this idea of God for me isn't like a he, you know, it's not him with the capital H, you know, it's not just a singular being that's watching over all of us. It is us. We are God, you know? And so I feel like that's
important. And God didn't do this to us.
We did this to ourselves.
God didn't give us a Super Bowl ring. And we didn't like miss that, you know, event in traffic and didn't end up in the accident because God didn't want us to be smashed by. Yeah. I feel like all of that is first level thinking. It at least gets you thinking about the idea of control.
Yeah.
But when it all comes down to it, the control is entirely yours. So when you are able to connect to the tools, because the tools are infinite, man. Ancient folks have all been having these success, not podcasts, but they were all.
We don't know. They could have been having ancient podcasts just in front of a live studio audience and two people talking.
I'm thinking about Plato's cave, you know, that whole thing where you're chained in a cave and you can't see outside. And I don't know, some poor suckers are back there, like, you know, putting things in front of the sun and casting shadows. And all you ever see in this lifetime is the shadow of reality. Mm. And then at some point, somebody gets skinny enough to get out of their chains and they go outside and they're like, oh. And everything. And once you see that, like, you know, once you have some tip into other realities, you can't unsee that. Like, you can deny it. A lot of people, myself included, denied, you know, the whole psychic thing for a very, very long time. And a lot of people refuse to believe that there's ghosts, you know, or any of this stuff. But man, once you have a one-on-one experience with it, then you're like, oh, all right. I know that this is a thing and I have to figure out how it fits into the greater picture, which is what the past life thing does, is it helps you get a greater perspective of why you do the things that you do. So, and this connects to, you know, we talk a lot about trauma on this show. And this is one of the things that I really, really, really resisted was this idea that like I created this life for myself. And I remember when the person told me that, I got so angry and I was screaming at them. I was like, why would anybody do this to themselves?
Yeah.
And they didn't answer. And I really, because that was a legit question. It wasn't just rhetorical, like, this is all BS. And, you know, I refused to accept it. It was, but why? So I feel like the last 15 years have been a pursuit of the why. And I feel like I'm kind of there now. And past lives, researching that stuff and accepting, you know, the infiniteness of our existence, all of these things have been pieces of the puzzle. I know why I did this to myself in this life, and I know that I'm not going to do it anymore in this life. Suckers.
Yeah. Well, and you know, I've always kind of accepted that I did this to myself in some way. And I've come into the understanding that being able to ask why in this lifetime and being able to seek out the why is a gift and also something of a privilege, you know, in the sense that, you know, we have gotten to this point to be able to ask why, but we also have the programming in our lives to give us the space to ask why at some point, you know, and that we've gotten the programming to be able to take a step back. Because I think it is important to note that some people's lives aren't about the why right now, you know, whether that be because of where their soul is at in its journey, or what's actually going on in their lives, you know, that there is enough traumatic crap happening to them and enough bad things happening to them that asking why isn't on the table, you know. And it's really interesting to think about the duality of that privilege of, like, is it earned or is it given, you know? And I think yes is the answer to both. But, like, yeah, because I've thought a lot about privilege recently, like soul privilege, you know, and like spiritual privilege, and like the privilege of being able to ask why has been on my brain a lot recently.
Ooh la la. Okay, so this might be asparagus, but like, I have to know more. Please.
It might not be, but it might be. Like, there are certain people in my life, and one person in particular who is really, really struggling with the why, and is really, really struggling to be able to ask why. And they brought a quote to me that was really great, that actually came from a video game that just came out recently. And that sometimes a life is filled with gifts and is filled with privileges and is filled with bounties of great discovery and great purpose and great realizations. And sometimes life is just eating a crab cake with a friend, and the entire life you're just having to eat this crab cake, and then it's going to be over, and that's it. And that's your life for this lifetime. And yeah, maybe our spirit chose that for us ahead of time, but in the moment, we certainly aren't choosing it for ourselves, or are we, you know? And so I, you know, like thinking about people in Gaza or in other parts of the world, or thinking about our world, if things do hit the fan, and what happens during wartime and stuff like that, what kind of questions are you able to ask yourself when you see family members being killed and when horrible things are happening? So just the privilege of being able to ask why has been on my mind a lot lately. And am I in my non-crap cake lifetime, and I'm getting to step away from the crap cake enough to be able to ask why, and that being kind of a gift, because I have people around me who that's not the case.
Nicely said. So this makes me, it makes me think of lots of things, but I hung out with some oddballs in high school. I was a theater kid, and we were obsessed with philosophy and politics, poli-sci stuff. And I remember having this conversation over and over again. Is life real, or is it just a dream? Mm. We won't go into deep detail on that, because I sort of feel like that's part of the cultural conversation. Like, we all have some connection to understanding what that is, and whether it's a dream or it's a computer simulation, however it makes sense in your head. And I remember really, really taking that seriously, and I couldn't understand how the function of it be, like what is the function of it being a dream? Why would somebody have this dream in the first place? So that was one piece of it. And then the other piece, I've always been really interested in studying religion. I'm not religious. All kinds of qualms coming in with any kind of formalized ideology. Anything that says that there's something between you and God, I reject. If it's facilitating your relationship, you know, then we're on a great track. Yay. So in studying religions when I was a kid, that also extended to mythologies. So I was obsessed with Greek mythology and Roman mythology and, indigenous mythologies. And those were all religions first. And people lived much closer to their gods than somehow we've arrived at. And I was just fascinated, like, how did they arrive at these ideas? And the bottom line was always this. There was always, like, this question of, like, the why. And then as humans evolved, you know, I get to college and now I'm studying philosophy, like, hardcore. And it's the exact same thing. It's the asking of the why. That's the bottom line for all human function is we're driven no matter what our circumstances are. You know, why did my car have to break down today? You know, why did my brother have to end up in jail again? You know, like no matter how horrible, but also how wonderful, like, oh, nobody ever asked, like, why did I win the lottery? You know, why am I at the top of the capitalistic food chain? But there's always going to be that piece in us. And I actually do think that no matter what our circumstances are, we really are asking that question. And then it's a matter of what kind of resources we might have around us in order to gain access to other perspectives, to, you know, to getting out of the cave. Yes, that's where I will
start. I agree with that. And I think... Okay. Cut me off of asparagus, but I feel like, you know, especially because we just came off the coping episode, like, I feel like asking why can oftentimes be a result or be the catalyst for coping, you know, and that coping through theology and coping through past lives, and understanding why helps us to push forward better, and I almost wonder if people who have stopped asking why are the people who have stopped pushing forward in this lifetime, regardless of the situation. So, okay. Interesting thought.
Oh, that's delicious. Okay. So, and we're gonna chase this down and we'll make sense of it later. I do think that there is just because somebody is living, you know, a crap cake for a life. And please know, like, I have many, many, many people in my life. Hey, me for decades, really, really super struggled. All the different variables and obstacles and interferences. And I've said this before, there's no question in my mind that there was exit points that I could have taken previously. There was no reason for me to keep sticking it out and sticking it out. And that might be the ultimate why for me. Like, why in the world didn't I just tap out? You know, I was allowed, you know, nobody would have been surprised. Why didn't I? I don't know. Cause I didn't, whatever, moving on. You had used the word like privilege before, but I actually want to take a step back from that because my feeling is for me is why is a question of the heart, and everybody comes into this world with a heart and with the capacity for compassion. First, it's compassion for other people. And then eventually, usually it becomes compassion for the self because we are, you know, we live for trauma apparently. So it's not privilege. It's access. You know, we hear stories all the time of people who, gosh, they go to prison and that's where they find God. So I don't want to attach like poverty or class or war or any natural disasters. These are not blocks to you getting access to your truth. I think what blocks is, gosh, I hate to say this, but there's something in you that just doesn't love, that doesn't understand the concept of it. So we're walking around a lot wondering why people do terrible things. And as storytellers, man, we love to unpack that childhood trauma, you know, that like this happened and that happened when they were kids. And now this is them acting out. This is a coping mechanism that when they steal, you know, it makes them feel powerful and, you know, and they hate the man. So this is the way that they correct the scales of justice. You know, we can unpack that for days and days. But the bottom line is does that person love anybody? Do they have an avenue to finding love for themselves? Because in my opinion, it's connecting to the love for the self that makes you go, I'm not allowed to hate anybody else anymore. And the why is satisfied.
Yeah, I like that. Very good. And it makes a lot of sense. And I feel like some people might be, you know, circling back to the past lives discussion. If you think about, because I feel like you put a really good progression there. Where it's like you're just existing and you're living, and then you develop love for the other, and then you develop love for the self, you know? And I feel like some people I feel like the thresholds between each of those are big thresholds to cross. And it takes a lot of lives to
to
even begin that journey, and then a lot of lives to complete it. And some people are stuck in not just the first threshold of learning to love others, but stuck between that threshold of how do I love myself while I love others? You know, like I know how to love others and I'm willing to, and maybe this love for others is just a newfound thing that I've just gotten. Like I've just gotten the ability to love others. How can I love myself? Like, you know, like if I start to love myself, I'm going to lose that ability to love others. I really like the way you put that, because that makes a lot of sense, you know, and like I was saying earlier, overcorrecting and then recorrecting back. Yeah. So, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
And some of us were trained as kids, you know, like I was trained to be of service. Holy Toledo, was I trained to be of service. So, of course, that's what I did as an adult, was to sacrifice all of my own personal needs so that I could make sure the people around me were getting every darn thing that I had to offer. Man, I'm way less interested in that these days. And part of that is like to be, you know, like to getting to the point where you can actually receive. Mm. Yes. Now, some people obviously came into this life not wanting to have these big struggles. But y'all, it doesn't mean you didn't do it before, and it doesn't mean you're not going to do it in the future. It's just that, you know, like you can, it's a weird concept, but like you need breaks. Once I found out that like, A, I don't have to come back if I don't want to, because I don't want to come back. and two, that you get to control what it is that you take on in each life. Which is crazy to say, because you look at some of the people who are living horrible, horrible, horrible lives and just cannot seem to get above it. Again, it goes back to who would choose to do that. And then you get back into that, like, I'm sorry, but this is apparently the dance, that this is a moment and you're having this moment, and maybe you'll get a little further down the road. Maybe you can clear some of this. You won't have to do it again. But once this moment is over, you won't be doing this specific thing again. One person, actually more than one person, many people have said that the folks who are doing the hardest lives are the ones who came in wanting to be like, all right, let's clear as much as we possibly can in one lifetime. Just hit me with everything.
Yeah. I've always really prescribed to the idea that, you know, we could pick an animal life whenever we want to, you know, and maybe after having a really, really difficult human life, we just get to be a squirrel for a little bit, you know, and just a squirrel gathering their nuts and learn and climbing the branches and climbing the tree. And you're just like, you know what, let's muscle through it this life. Let's really try and work through some things. And then in the next life, we'll take it easy again, because gosh darn, this is going to take it out of me.
Yeah.
You know?
Because soul weariness is a real thing. It's a thing in this plane of existence, and it's a thing in general. So I don't know. That's given me a lot of peace of knowing that no matter what happens next is going to be amazing. And that, no, I don't have to come back. I can go be, because we were also, this is the other thing that a lot of folks don't necessarily want to connect to is, y'all, there's a lot of different species out in the universe. Like we've been, you know, we can call it aliens, but only in the truest sense of the word, you know, that not us. Right.
Yeah.
So all these other species, we've been all these other species. I have a lot of past lives where I live underwater. Mm. I'm totally, you know, like that's freaking awesome. And I've seen myself like drown. I've had just recently, I almost choked to death in this particular life. And when I went and looked at it on the spiritual level, I was like, oh, that was me clearing out the karma of having choked in previous lives. Wow. Let's clear that out so I never have to actually choke in an existence again. Also, I'm going to go be an alien who doesn't breathe.
Yeah.
That's also a solution to the problem.
Yeah, that's interesting. And I've never thought about potential exit points as clearing out previous exit points like that, you know, because you know, you said that you've lived multiple lives under the water. I know that I have a very, very spiritual connection with the water. And in fact, something we'll talk about in the next episode we record today is our previous past live readings that we've done. And one of the first ones that you ever did for me was me being on a boat. And it just makes sense that I've had this relationship with water for such a long time, because it's truly the only thing, it's one of the things that's healing me in this life. You know, it's one of the only ways that I can work out anymore is by swimming. I've always just felt so comfortable in the water. I've never, even the moments where I came close to drowning, I knew I wasn't going to, you know, and I knew that that's not my karma anymore, and that I don't have to worry about drowning anymore. And maybe because I've drowned a few times, and maybe because I've had a few close calls, that I can just feel completely safe and at home in the water and feel unafraid of the water's creatures that are in the water as well.
I was just going to ask, how do you feel about sharks?
Yeah, there's been times where I'm in the ocean and I'm like, should I be like scared of sharks right now? And I'm like, probably, maybe, I don't know. I definitely had a couple moments after Steve Irwin died from the jellyfish that I was like, or stingray, sorry, that I was like, oh my gosh, there's things that are in this water that could kill me right now if they wanted to. But to be honest with you,
I'm now part of the ecosystem.
Yeah, but to be honest with you, my biggest fear being in the ocean or any public body of water has always just been stepping on a piece of glass, you know, has always just been stepping on our trash that's in there. You know, I'm not afraid of the actual things that are in there. I'm afraid of what we put in that freaking water, you know.
I remember when my niece started to come visit me in Los Angeles, I took her down to Venice Beach, and she picked something up and came running over with it. What's this? What's this? And we're like, that's a hypodermic needle.
Oh no.
Put that down. And we're laughing about it. God, we're so messed up. But this, you know, this leads to this idea of like, you know, facing your fears. We hear that a lot in this culture, but that's essentially what's happening, is figuring out how to manage what may or may not be rational fears. And then if we can get past it, we see that we can get past it. We can live in the water knowing that there is a stingray, knowing that there's a shark, and being, you know, quasi okay with it. Mm. And that to me is also a piece of, you know, clearing the blockages that is karma, the lessons. And so stingrays for you, interesting.
Just for a second, just because, you know, like, oh my gosh, this man who knows animals wasn't safe from the stingray. Like, how can I claim to be safe from the stingray? Right. But, you know, thinking about it from that perspective, he is somebody who clearly had a lot of karma with animals that he wanted to work with in that life. And man, if I was somebody who was obsessed with animals, I would want to go out by an animal. Like, that would be the way I'd want to go out in that life. So maybe it was a peaceful passing for Steve Irwin. And I'm so sorry, anybody listening to this who's part of Steve Irwin's like community or whatever. And it's like, how dare you? But like, I don't know.
But you're right though. Like this idea. So I was thinking about, so I finally got myself to go into, cause I saw Jaws young, y'all. Mm-hmm. And Jaws is a real, real, real thing. It caused a lot of us to not want to go in the water, myself included. But my niece was coming and she wanted to surf. I was like, I'm just going to have to get over it. There's no way I'm going to let her know that some 1978 movie ruined 2/3 of the planet for me.
What a way to put that.
Darn you, Steven Spielberg. And I know I'm not allowed, which is, you know, part of the fun of this. So moving into this, the idea of if I get eaten by a shark, then I guess that's just the deal. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to have to get good with it. And it released the charge, you know, and it doesn't mean that there weren't occasionally moments out there where I was like, there's something here, there's something here, there's something here. Okay, now I'm good. Like, so I was aware, but who knows? I mean, it could have been a dolphin. It could have just been a big fish. Who knows? Who knows? Who knows? So this idea of facing the fear, damn it, I had a big point and I lost. I'm so sorry, Jenny.
It's okay. I have something I can say if you need.
Do it. Jump in.
I was just about to say, like, you know, thinking about past lives and the fear of the unknown drifting into being comfortable with the unknown and then almost embracing the unknown, you know, and that shift that can happen. Because for me, you know, I have had so many possible exit points in this life, and so many of them have been ones that would be by my hand, you know, that would have been my choice, that would have been me doing something to myself to be done, you know. And because of that, because I've constantly made that choice of, oh no, I want to keep going, oh no, I'm ready to keep going, that when the unknown comes, it's like, well, if this takes me out, I guess that's how it's meant to be. And it's almost kind of like a, oh, thank God, you know, where it's like, oh, yes, I've been struggling so much and you're telling me this bear is just going to snap my neck. That's wonderful news.
That's wonderful. How interesting. I've been obsessed since I was a kid with dying in an interesting way. I remember hearing about somebody who was walking across a track field during a track meet and didn't see that the javelin contest was going on.
Oh my gosh.
And they got, yeah, and the javelin went right through their chest and pinned them to the ground, and they died instantaneously. And everybody was like, oh, that's horrible. And I was like, oh, that's cool.
That's amazing.
What a great way to go. It's like instant, and nobody will ever forget.
And to instantly die while you're doing the thing you love. Like, oh my gosh, that person must have had some wonderful karma in this lifetime, you know?
I love that. I love looking at it that way. So, you know, taking the charge out of our fear of death also, in my opinion, allows us to have less of a fear of this life.
Oh, I agree.
So you acknowledge there's stuff that's going to go on after we leave this particular reality. Cool, cool, cool. So then it's like, okay, so what am I so afraid of anyway? If it's just going to get better after I'm out of here, then what is the fear? And half of our podcast is spent talking about how the fear is given to us through trauma, you know, and then us learning how to get rid of the trauma so that we can get to a place of peace, so that we can have some joy. Yes, there are people who program their lives so they get to have mostly fun, you know, and maybe some like, oh, I don't like my nose. My nose is too big, or, you know, like whatever. I didn't get invited to that party, you know, and that's fine. And yes, I'm ridiculing them, but also good for you. If that's like the biggest drama in your life, yay you. You took it easy on yourself, and I hope I'm you next life.
Right. Well, and it brings up an interesting point of like, these people that we're looking at as having privileged lives, and me myself, I recognize I'm in one of my privileged lives because I'm going through a lot, but I'm also pulling myself through a lot, and I'm learning a lot, and I'm finding so much more beauty in life than I've ever had before. And somebody who their biggest fear is the nose job they're going to have later in life, like, who knows what kind of life they came from before this, you know? Who knows what kind of major karma work they had to do beforehand, and then now they're just like, whew, like, we need to take it easy, y'all. Like, let's
right,
have some
man.
Fun.
I'm gonna give myself a really bad schnoz, but I'm also gonna give myself the resources to fix it. And if you take that bottom line, we all have the resources to fix it. So no matter what the circumstances are, you know, and I get to say that because I came from really horrible circumstances, and hey, I'm doing much better now. And it was a lot of work. Mm. So do I believe that even the most oblivious or shut down or cut off or brutalized to the point where they can't experience love beyond a very finite circle? Do I think that they're hopeless cases? No, I think that the moment that they finally do, you hear this all the time. Well, growing up as a Gen Xer, I heard this all the time where it was still, most of my friends were in the closet until their 30s. They were very worried that they wouldn't be able to get work if people knew that they were gay, or they would lose their job. They couldn't get married. It was illegal. So there's all of those hangups around that. So I had lots and lots of friends who were living the closeted life in the 80s and the 90s and even into the 2000s. And, you know, their families, you know, they couldn't tell their families, and coming out to their families was like the scariest thing, because there was a genuine risk that they were going to lose those connections. And to know that current generations are further down the road from that, that they don't have those same, there's some protections in there, that you get to keep your job, you know, even though And the idea of regressing backwards into that, like it actually can't happen. Like you yourself as a person can decide that you hate whatever, but the rest of us who have all picked up and moved forward, like we're leaving you behind. Mm. So you have to catch up to us, not the other way around. And the way that usually worked was, so my best friend is a gay guy, and his dad was vehemently, vehemently homophobic. And my friend got married, and it was a beautiful wedding. And, you know, we gave speeches, and, you know, I got to be the best person and give a speech. And at the end of it, the dad came over and he was just crying. He was also drunk, but crying and crying, saying, "I get it now. I understand mm-hmm. now. And I will love my son for who he is." And personally, I was just like, yeah, catch up, son. Like, you know, where you've been.
Of course you were.
Like, what do you want, a gold star for your forehead? Terrorize this guy, yeah. You know, for 35 years. Yay, you're now at the party with us. But that's the thing, right? Is something will come into your immediate circle and you'll realize, you'll have a moment where you're like, oh, turns out that wasn't going to be. So you can clear karma in all kinds of ways: facing the fear, embracing, you know, loving something that you didn't think that you were allowed to love or that you should love. I personally just like doing past life clearings because it just gets it done on a higher level that much faster.
Yeah. I have one thing that I want us to part on because I know we're reaching the end. I did, one of my friends, they are a wonderful person, and they have these decks, that these oracle decks, that all of them are really nice and really gentle and really sweet decks. And they recently got their first tarot deck, and their tarot deck is not nice and not gentle and is very like, oh my gosh, that's another episode. But we did a ritual where it was me and our mutual partner, and we did a full moon ritual. And what we did is we each pulled one card from our own deck and then one card from the other two decks that were brought. So we each had three cards.
Oh, how fun. Yes. It's like a Tupperware party.
Yes.
But like,
it's a Oh my God, I wasn't ready for that. Okay. That was so good. And so then we put all the cards in a circle and we read all of them as if they applied to the whole group, but we still knew which cards were for us. And the card that I pulled from their deck was a deck that had animals in it. And the specific card that I pulled was the peacock. And the peacock said that it was reminding you that the peacock is an animal who spends a lot of its time eating things that are poisonous to other animals, and it uses them for fuel. And so the peacock can spend a lot of time eating poison. And, you know, you spend a lot of time eating that crap cake and you forget that's what you needed to be doing. And then the peacock, yep. It said the peacock is here to remind you that you see all these bad things around you and you see them as happening to you, but in reality, they're happening for you. And it's just reminding you that all of this poison that you were having to consume is for you. And man, I was so mad at that card. I was so mad, Trey. I was like, how dare you say that? Like, how dare you? And it hasn't been out of my mind. There's not been one week that I haven't thought about that card. And it's come really nicely full circle now of, you know, all this crap cake, all this stuff that's happening is for you. You know, just remember that.
Yeah. And not to mention, you're also taking toxins out of the environment. So that, you know, the idea of like, a lot of cultures have, like sin eaters.
Yeah.
And people who, we call it in the shaman, tradition, it's the empty reed, the hollow reed, where the idea is we're going to channel out all of the negative energy and put it back into the ground. And you can't do it for yourself, but like, I will put myself in that place to let the energy run through me and to send it on its way. I feel like that's really similar to what you're talking about.
Yeah, definitely.
Beautiful. Wow. Well, I have no idea what this episode was, but I really, really love talking to you about it.
I loved it. I think this is going to be a wonderful episode. I'm really excited to edit this. So
it's the most midnight gospel one, I think, that we've done.
Stop it!
We need animation to go along with it, I think.
Oh, that hurt me so bad, but it was so good. That was amazing.
Yay. So let's do this. Let's call this episode Good for What It Is, but it is laying the groundwork to us talking specifically about past lives. So part two, let's talk past lives, and we'll try to rein ourselves in, even though we obviously have just so much to say to each other.
Yeah, did we want to, well, I feel like first we should come back in and just say thanks everybody for listening for this one, because we are still going to push this episode out, darn it. Like, this is a good episode.
Yeah, we are. This is juice. Okay. So for those who are still hanging in on this episode, this one who went far afield and was a delight for us, and we hope that you enjoyed it. Thank you for still listening, and we'll see you for part two, where we talk specifically about the past life experiences that we have had.
Yay. And as always, cheers, meow, meow.
Cheers, meow, meow.